of knowing.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 610. Jason Lindgren is with me, and my hero, Teresa Bacola, returns. This is a hell of a story. For people who haven't caught the back episodes with Teresa, those episodes are 479, 522.5, that's a 1 hour, and 580.5, that's also a 1 hour. We're going to catch everybody up on what's happened. And just so you know what we're talking about, basically people in a county in California violated the rights of everybody with regards to a beach. And Teresa stood up for everyone's rights. I'm going to let her kind of outline what has happened to bring everyone up to speed. Welcome, Jason.
And a chilly good afternoon.
Before I get Teresa going, is there anything you want to add about this? And by the way, you should probably mention the donation if anyone wants to support what she's doing.
Right. She's asking for donations for assistance. She's done a lot to really show the dirtiness of what's been going on, especially in a state like California, which everybody knows there's just crazy, crazy stuff going on. Their politics, their people are just out of control a lot of times. So when she explains all this, please see if you can help her out because she definitely needs it.
So basically, just so people comprehend, she's going into court pro se. She's defending herself without an attorney. She's done all the footwork. She has learned everything she needs to learn on her own. And these costs mount up. And by the way, she's fighting other law firms. She's fighting a corrupt legal system within the city or the county where she is. I'll let her define that. So if you want to support her, you can go to GiveSendGo, and that is www.givesendgo.com. And then there's a / G as in girl, 3FDT. Or you can use Cash App, which is the money sign Teresa Bacola. That is spelled T-H-E-R-E-S-A. And the last name is B-U-C-C-O-L-A. Anyhow, welcome, Teresa.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much for inviting me back on. Yeah.
So you're kind of like my superhero. You have stood against withering odds. You've done it on your own primarily. You've been messed with endlessly. You've been railroaded. You've been lied to. You've been manhandled. You've been arrested more than once. And I guess I'll stop right there to let you jump in. But as you get going here, let's just give an overview very quickly of what happened in the past so people know what's going on.
Okay. So back in 2020, when we had the pandemic, my city council, in particular the city manager, woke up on the 4th of July weekend morning and decided that he was, quote unquote, closing Carmel Beach. And what that means is he and his merry band of pirates, which is the police department, laid siege to it and attacked anybody that wanted to walk out there in the ocean. They actually did attack one man who was walking his dog, and they strung police tape along the entire edge of the beach, and they wouldn't let anyone step foot onto the sand. And I saw that they had tackled that man, and I went out there in defiance. And I don't believe that I said this in the previous ones, but our mayor and city manager had invited people from around the country just a few weeks later to visit the beach. They said the great outdoors are always open, so please come. We're not going to close the beach. And they had an event there in the park 2 weeks before where people were crammed into the park. There were hundreds. And so I defied it, and I got arrested on the beach. Then I got arrested again when I was trying to pick up the body camera footage of the original arrest. And I lived under illegitimate warrants and three criminal charges for 3 years. And I did a massive amount of work and research to try to get rid of those charges, which I was able to do last July 2023. So I got the three criminal charges dismissed and the two illegitimate warrants recalled. And I did that without an attorney. And then I also filed a federal lawsuit, Title 42, Section 1983, in June of 2022. And I was battling two firms, and I got, it's almost 300 docket entries in until he dismissed my case in October. But there's a whole bunch of other things that have occurred since then, which are really exciting, and I can't even believe they happened. And I have filed my notice of appeal. So those are the cliff notes.
So, Teresa, what were the actual charges for committing the heinous crime of walking on a beach during the pandemic?
Entering a disaster area. Entering a disaster area. One of the cops, when he took my purse off my shoulder and he went in there, he found a can of bear mace that I use for protection.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they charged me with selling and possessing a tear gas weapon.
Wow.
And I was facing up to a year in jail for that. And it was about 8 months after my first arrest that I figured out that I did not have tear gas, that they're actually two different weapons, because the active ingredient in mace is like capsicum, and in tear gas, it's a much more virulent man-made chemical. So they charged me with having and selling a weapon that I didn't have.
Which was over the counter, right?
Which was over the counter. Uh-huh.
Because mace requires a permit in California, I believe.
No, I think tear gas does.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, right. The one with the virulent chemical. When I was in law enforcement, I remember you had to go take a class and get a permit.
Yeah. No, this one I bought at like Big Five. Yeah. And then the third charge was Penal Code 148A1, which is resisting, obstructing, or delaying an officer in the discharge of his duties.
And these three charges are what you managed to get dropped so far?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Was there anything else that came out of that? I mean, basically, when this gets dropped, it's proving that they were hurling spitballs at you without cause.
I would say so. I'm never going to know precisely why they dismissed the charges, because at the time that I went into court, I was suing Monterey County for malicious prosecution. And at that time, it was a $52 million lawsuit. So they had every reason to try to bring me to a jury and have me convicted, but they didn't. They surrendered. And I don't know if it was the writ of mandate that I had filed with that court. I don't know, it was about a month and a half before, which was extensive research into how the courts are all about consent and offers to contract. Or it could have been the long bar grievance that I filed on the DA. I'm not going to know it. I walked, for the first time in 3 years, I walked out of the court a free woman in July of last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a big deal. You did it on your own, and you did it on your own dime. You learned what you needed to learn, and you did not acquire an attorney.
That's right. That's right.
So I want to ask, they didn't have authority to shut the beach in the first place, do they?
Of course not. No, because we have, it's Article 10, Section 4 in the California Constitution. And that is, no individual, partnership, or corporation may prohibit the people's access to the navigable waters of the coast of California. And Carmel is a corporation. So they never had the authority to do that. And it was under the pretense of us not violating the 6-foot social distancing protocol, but they, quote unquote, allowed people to get crammed into the park for the celebration and into the shops to spend money and at the restaurants. So the whole thing was a hypocritical exercise in control.
So to date, how many times have you actually been in court?
Seven.
7 times.
Yes, 3 in the Superior Court and 4 in the federal.
And while you were doing your work in the Superior Court, did you lose or lose traction at any time during those 3 visits to the Superior?
What do you mean lose traction?
So you're in there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're pleading a case, I guess, if that's the right words. Did it go your way or did it go against you?
Well, the first two times it did not go my way because they issued these quote unquote warrants for my arrest for failure to appear. Okay. And that's significant. And it will come up a few minutes later in the story. So they issued a warrant for my arrest because I didn't show up to court the first time. And then the second time I left, he told me, you need to fill out the form for a public defender. And we're going to recall the matter once you fill out the form. And I left and he changed the terms of the contract afterwards. And then he issued a warrant. So no, it did not go my way the first two times I went, but clearly it went my way the third time because as I was in the middle of speaking, the prosecutor interrupted me and said, she's free to go and we need to get her out of the courthouse. Or, you know, that's kind of the way that I remembered it. But
you pick up two warrants in the superior situation.
I believe it was three.
And where do those warrants stand now?
Well, I dragged to the ground at the police department on the first one. And I told him in advance, before he put his hands on me, this warrant is not signed by a judge. It's signed by a deputy clerk. It's defective. You can't arrest me on it. But he did anyway. And then the second and third were recalled when I went into court last July.
So if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
58. I'm going to be 59 in a couple of weeks.
How much do you weigh, if you don't mind me asking?
About 120 pounds.
So they've now twice manhandled you to the ground and cuffed you.
Yes. Pardon me. Not the first time. They manhandled me and dug their hands into my pants the first time and cuffed me, which is humiliating enough. And then the second time, that's when they did drag me to the ground and slam me up against the wall and then kick me into the car.
Because you walked on a beach.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So moving past the three superior court, you have four more visits to court after that.
That's correct.
And how did those go?
The first one, they were all last year. So the first one was a discovery hearing. Can't remember. It was either a discovery hearing, and the second one was a 12B6 hearing, or they were reversed. I can't recall. And then the third one was another 12B6 hearing. And the fourth one was an expedited motion to dismiss hearing. And we went through this in the last podcast that there was one main attorney that I was dealing with that dicked me around with records for a year and a half. So I have been hammering Carmel and Monterey County with records requests since January of 2021. I've been asking for video evidence, for body camera footage, for copies of warrants, for emails, for texts. I mean, I must have submitted probably 60 or 70 records before I even filed litigation. And they continued to stall. They started ignoring me. They would give me false authorities about why they weren't going to disclose it. And I thought I was going to be able to get them in federal litigation, and it didn't prove to be any easier. In fact, then you get stonewalled by these jerk-off attorneys. And I was dealing with one main one, and I submitted a bunch of discovery requests in December of 2022. And I was incorrect, actually, in the last podcast that I was listening to. It's a federal rule of civil procedure. I think it's 37. I can't recall that they have 30 days to respond, but there's no clear, it's not clear in that rule when they have to disclose the records. So they kept delaying and stalling and delaying. And I had, by February, I had some outstanding discovery requests from December of 2022. So I went to court and met my judge for the first time in person. And every time I go, I think I'm going to be able to control my heartbeat and my breath. But you get in there and it's really nerve-wracking and it's scary. And I was incredibly intimidated the first couple of times I went, and I wound up facing off against this particular attorney who was defending six defendants. And the one was Carmel, and then the five individuals and four cops and one city manager. And he kept saying that he was going to disclose records, then he would recant. We would schedule meetings so that we could go over, we could review the record disclosure. He would cancel the meet and confers at last minute. And I know that he was getting a real charge out of being able to do this to me, because I couldn't figure out how to get him to heal. And some of these records, like the body camera footage of those three officers attacking that man walking his dog, I've been trying to get them at that point for 3 years.
From who? From the city?
From Carmel. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I have another meeting with him, and he said he was going to give me the emails and the texts if they had to do with me or the Cedar Beach, and then he recanted on that. And then in about February of this year, I discover that he never filed his notice of appearance in the court, and that's a violation of Local Rule 5-1. I discover that four out of the five attorneys that attached themselves to my case never formally appeared. And if you read that local rule, they use the words required and must. An attorney must file a notice of appearance.
Doesn't that cause trouble for more than just the attorneys? Because now the city is allowing attorneys that haven't followed protocol into their court.
Yes. And I'll go over in a second what the Northern District Court has done with all of this.
Okay.
And by the way, how often do you think this happens, that these attorneys are doing things when by their own paperwork they shouldn't be?
I think it happens quite frequently.
Like standard operating procedure, is that what you suspect?
I believe so, because I have researched and looked at other cases on PACER, and frequently the attorneys just don't file their notices of appearance.
Wouldn't that nullify anything that they've filed or any judgment that they've received after the fact?
Yes. Yes. And the irony of me being thrown to the ground for failing to appear by those two officers, for them to hire two attorneys that failed to appear, there's a poetic justice to it all, really.
Unbelievable. You know, this is why I continually say you're my hero, because this probably is standard operating procedure, because very few people have the guts. You've already stated your heart rate goes up. I've been in a court. I know what you're talking about. It's stressful. Not only is it stressful, you don't know if someone's going to throw you in jail, or you don't know what's going to happen. And you've
That's
already
right.
been jailed. But my point here is you have stood against them. All this kind of rigmarole that goes on because they can get away with it, it's all coming to light based on what you've done. And now you're into this, what, 4 or 5 years?
It's 4.5 years. 4.5 years. And yes, my friends and I talk about that all the time, that pro se litigation has a new name, because I am shining the light and really disciplining them for doing things that I think they have become so lazy and rote about. So I figured out that four out of the five attorneys never filed their notice of appearance. And then I figured out that this particular attorney not only failed to file his NOA, but he never filed his petition for bar membership to be admitted to practice law in that court. So I file, my next document is the motion for reconsideration. And then I tell the judge about it. Hey, this guy has been in practicing law outside jurisdiction for 607 days. He's tried to file 22 documents. He's a trespasser in my case. He's an interloper, a rogue agent. He tried to make two appearances on behalf of his clients. You should strike everything he's done. Okay. And this is where it's right about March, probably March or April, that I start pulling the wool back from my eyes about who the judge is and who the Northern District is. Because not only does he not strike his documents, but he takes pot shots at me for bringing it up. So he would say things like, the plaintiff's claims of prejudice are specious. And for people that don't know what that word is, I had to look it up. It means deceptive. So he's telling me that because I wrote a long document and I said, hey, I've been harmed by this guy. He didn't swear under penalty of perjury that he was going to follow the rules. So that's why he's given himself free rein to break them. And I've been harmed by this. And he also said a number of times, and he ignored me.
On the record, or is this private?
Oh, no, he did. He did it on the record. And then he said, because I didn't file a document before I filed the motion for reconsideration. You have to file a motion for leave of court to file a motion for reconsideration before you can file a second one. Okay, so I forgot that time. And he wrote, the irony that the plaintiff is accusing this attorney of not following the rules when she herself is not following the rules is not lost on this court. Like, and I read it at the time. At the time, I was still believing that this was going to be honorably conducted, and I was hurt and humiliated. And then that's when the gloves came off. And I started to go, then I started to battle with the actual judge. And he never ordered this attorney to withdraw from the case. He let him stay on. Okay, so the firm withdraws him. He actually didn't retire. We reported in the last one because that's what we were told was that this guy retired. Only I found out later he's working at another firm down in Southern California. That was a 20-year partnership he had in that firm. So either he got fired or he retired. Okay, and then here's where it really gets good. They withdraw him on April 2nd, and they drop in two attorneys as his replacements. The one attorney makes the identical error on the same day. She forgot to file her petition for bar membership. She captioned her name, I think, on like 25 documents. Neither she was admitted to practice law in that court. So I caught them not once, but twice.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So what winds up happening is because I will not let this go with the judge over this attorney. And I keep bringing it up in my documents. I keep bringing it up in the hearings. And I think it was a week after I was on your show the last time, we have a joint case management conference. And I keep saying to the judge, what are we doing about this attorney's documents? What are we doing about this attorney's appearances? Why are we talking about this? Why aren't we addressing this? And he ignored me, I think it was for months, until because I pounded at it, then he ordered that attorney to file a declaration into the case about how in the world he could make a mistake.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
He ordered the firm. He said, you have to get this attorney because the attorney is no longer on the case. Okay.
Yep.
And the judge is basically, okay, so what I think the judge is doing is that he's trying to pass the buck because really the judge should have been checking this. He should have been keeping order in his court. He should have been ordering all the attorneys to file their NOAs at the beginning of the case. He should be ensuring that they're all admitted to practice law in that court, for goodness sakes.
But he's allowed all the documents to remain in force.
Not only that, but I filed my motion for reconsideration on March 20th. Okay. And that's when I brought all this to light. 2 days later, he granted that attorney's motion to dismiss.
So, okay, I'm trying to wrap my head. What specifically is the motion to dismiss referring to?
Oh, okay. So what happens is I file a complaint and then my opponents file a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
And then that's where they try to illuminate all the things that I did wrong and how it's, you know, unlawful and it doesn't make any sense and he should throw it out. Okay, so that's what they filed, a 12B6 motion to dismiss. So not only did he not strike his documents, but he granted his documents. And I think it was right about then. I was like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. You cheat. Because he should have given me a default judgment shortly thereafter.
Okay, I think I've got my head wrapped around it. I think you've more than proven that the rules don't apply. I'm just trying to figure out why this judge is acting like he has a dog in the fight. He's not been impartial any step of the way.
No, he's been acting as though he was hired as co-counsel for my opponents.
Do you have any idea why? Has he known these people for a long time, or do you have any inkling?
I have no idea. I have some theories, but he is not the only one involved.
So let me ask you, you can file complaints against attorneys. Have you done this?
I just did last week.
And that apparently has a big effect. We've heard from people. And the other thing is, have you thought about recording, having your phone record when some of these things happen?
Oh, actually, I'm glad you bring that up, Crow, because I just got a response back from the court this past Monday. Because I've been asking them for months. I ordered, I have 5 recordings that I ordered. And I just got the okay from the court that I can post them to social media.
Oh, wow.
So I will be uploading those to my YouTube channel. And let's see, it's the June conference. It's the July 31st 12B6 hearing. And it's the October 2nd hearing. In particular, the last two, where I really start to get my stride in dealing with the judge. And by the October 2nd hearing, it is clear that I am now controlling the court.
So where we left off is basically the main attorney is now retired or gone or supposedly retired, but he's actually working at another firm.
Yes.
And that's a direct result of you pushing back on them. But I'm still really kind of mystified by this because what you did forced that to happen. Remove the attorney, supposedly retired him and all this, but everything he filed is still in force.
Exactly.
So is there a point in this story where the tide begins to turn?
Okay, so let me finish telling you what winds up happening with these attorneys, and then I'll explain what is going to happen.
Okay.
Okay. So because I keep bringing this up with him, eventually he relents and he says, okay, well, this attorney is going to have to explain to the court why he did this. So this attorney enters, they call it a declaration, but I call it a confession. So this attorney has to enter, and he does, his confession into the case. And by this point, he is now begging for mercy.
From who?
From the court.
Okay.
I regrettably made the error of believing I was already admitted to practice in this court when I really forgot it was this court and it was my secretary's fault and I had to wash my hair. Okay. Then I find a second attorney does the same thing. And then he orders that attorney to file her confession into the case. So now we've got two attorneys that are entering confessions into the case. And then he orders the entire firm to enter a confession because the firm let this happen, because this attorney is, I think she's only been practicing for, she had been for 8 months or 9 months or something like that.
Oh, wow. Brand new.
She was brand new. However, she is a judge advocate general.
Huh.
And I think she's been doing it for 8 or 10 years. Okay. So there was no excuse for her to, in particular, because that was the reason that she was attaching herself to the case in the first place.
So, but what does it mean to your case to have two, well, you're calling them confessions submitted? What is the actual meaning of that to the case?
Okay, well, there's a third confession because he makes the firm. So now I have three confessions in the case.
The court ordered the attorneys, or apparently the group of attorneys, to do this.
Yes.
Okay, so now those have been executed.
Yes, and what wound up happening was that the two attorneys, actually, I wound up getting three attorneys sanctioned.
Wow.
They were admonished. And the original attorney, the big one that I was having a problem with, let's say attorney A, and his firm have been referred over to the Standards Committee on Professional Conduct for investigation and remedial action and further disciplinary measures.
Wow. And so that sheds so much doubt, because with that submitted in, and as you're calling it, an admission of fault, what does that do to all the documents that they submitted in this case?
Okay, well, back in probably January or February, I think, was the last few months that I was talking with my friends about whether my judge was honorable and what is he trying to tell me. And I have to kind of, you have to please the judge, because, and I think that the kind of the tipping point was March 22nd when he granted that attorney's motion. And I thought, oh, okay, now I see where he's going. So he absolutely should not have, not only should he not have granted all of that attorney's motions, because he has granted every single motion to dismiss that has been entered into my case. And even the interloper, the trespasser that replaced the original attorney, he keeps granting his motions. Okay, so if they were really the paragons of virtue and integrity and justice, I would have gotten my default judgment back in March, like I said. But what wound up happening, also, I should kind of diverge for a second and discuss discovery.
Okay.
So I kept going, asking and asking and asking for discovery, and the videos in the jail and the identities of the does, and they kept stalling and stalling and stalling. And I reported it to the court. I said, I need an extension of time on my third amended complaint because they are not disclosing discovery. He denied that motion. He said that I hadn't conferred in good faith. And then he actually wound up, okay, and here's the other thing. The only discovery that was submitted to me was by the original trespasser. The one that didn't have the authority to attach a paperclip to my case is the only one that submitted any discovery to me. And so I stubbornly refused to comply with discovery for about 6 months. I said, I'm not taking part in this fraud. I'm not violating my own due process rights. You've already called him a pretender. And he eventually dismissed my case for not complying with discovery. That's what my judge did. So I think what he's trying to do is to play both sides of the net. So he's pretending he's doing something over here. It's kind of like sleight of hand. And I also believe that they are attempting to wear me out.
I think that goes without saying. I think that they, first of all, when someone pro se walks into a courtroom, you're going to get treated differently. I see it all the time.
Certainly.
I think a lot of judges have the idea that you don't belong there. You're not in the club. You don't know what to do. And I think the judge that you've described has treated you poorly. Maybe that's part of the reason. But the attorneys, they're probably thinking, we know all these dirty tricks, and this little pro se person doesn't know any of it. We can just run her down to a nub and she'll give up.
Well, I see how they could have thought that from the original complaint that I submitted, because it was a train wreck. And it took me about a year to unwind kind of the damage that had been done because I wasn't trained properly. But I think that that worked in my favor because I wound up being underestimated. And I have no idea what they're thinking anymore. But the last two times, in fact, the last time that I went in there, I talked circles around my judge. And I left him at least once. I asked him a question and he sat there staring at me in mute silence because I basically pinned him up against the wall. So I filed a notice of appeal and then they claimed they didn't get the notice of appeal.
That was filed with the court clerk?
Yes.
And they didn't get it?
They claimed they didn't get it. So it was last Thursday. I uploaded the UPS receipts and the confirmation that the clerk received it. I don't even know on what date. So that's where I am right now. I've gotten three attorneys sanctioned, and one and his entire firm have been referred over to the standards committee.
And so does that mean they get removed from the case when this happens?
Oh, I should say in the judge's order, because he really ripped the entire firm a new one. And he went in three pages where he spanks them.
The same judge or a different judge?
The same judge. And he said something about, this is concerning to the court because it brings into question all matters in which the firm has appeared before the court.
He's had the light shined in his eyes. You shined the light in that judge's eyes. And the question I asked earlier is in his head. This could call into question every document they've ever filed under these conditions.
And when he said all matters, it's not just my case.
Right. Every judgment. Yeah.
Yes. So they are now under investigation. So like I said, I think he's trying to play for both teams.
Sounds like he's trying to pass the buck so the light doesn't get shined on him.
I think so. Yes. So I have no idea what's going to happen in the appeal, but I don't care how long I have to keep fighting. However, one beneficial thing has happened since I'm not so nose deep in the documents in the case, which is that now I can make videos and I've been exposing what they've been doing.
And you got national coverage.
Yes.
That's a big deal. That's why we asked you to come back on. And that's why we made phone calls to other big podcasts. We know that I think you're going to go on at least one of them.
Oh, yes.
SGT Report. Yeah.
Right.
It started as a very political podcast. The guy who runs it's a really, really nice guy. But to get back to the point, I just want to sum up here. So the three attorneys have been sanctioned and this is going to hurt them in their careers, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I forgot. What about the police chief that we covered before? He was let go, became a security guard, but then was he snuck in again, the back door?
Yes, he came. I think he was hired back in October of last year.
And is he still there?
He is still there, and he was there last night. I was at the city council meeting. Yeah.
Do you get a sense that the tide is turning in your favor because you have stood up to the withering delays and their efforts just to run you down?
Okay, this is how I look at it. They are going to have to yield and apologize and settle with me at some point because I am not giving up until they do. And that's it. So the city council meeting that we did last month, it got covered by Harvey Freebird and the people are pissed because we showed the city council the photos of that poor bastard getting tackled into the ocean after being invited here by the city manager.
Which is in the press release, by the way.
And then what they wound up doing, we showed them pictures to the city council and to the gallery. And we said, you know, what's going on with this city manager? They turned around during that same meeting and they extended his contract and gave him even more of our money in his fourth raise since he ordered the siege of our beach. And the people around the country were not happy about it. And we got the script into their agendas. And then we went back again last night. So now I have a new weapon in my arsenal, which is the city council meetings and the bigger channels. And eventually they're going to have to, I want a statement issued to the local paper that they apologize and this type of violence is never again going to befall my peaceful neighbors and the beach will always be open.
They have not tried to close the beach since, have they?
Not since Labor Day. In 4.5 years, not a single city council member has denounced that siege of our beach. They just keep plying the sky with more and more and more of our money.
What about the damages awards? Now, I've read a few things. Those got stripped by the judge, didn't they?
Damages awards.
Weren't you seeking damages at some point?
He struck the punitive damages against Carmel and Monterey. And I've kept needing to update the more that I learn, because it was $52 million. And then when we actually plotted it out, when I had to file the motion for default, it wound up being like $19 million and change. And that's what I filed the motion for default on. And he denied it, because my judge has been doing nothing but lying and deflecting and obfuscations probably since the entirety of the case. But I really only started seeing it about March. And I'm not sure if I said this, but I got nearly 300 docket entries in. And probably from March until the end, it's me just excoriating the judge, criticizing him, lambasting him, and showing him how wrong he is. And a lot of the times, it's what they say in their documents and in the hearings, and it's what they don't say and what they don't address. And frequently, he will wind up ignoring pages of my documents because I know I struck a nerve. And if he did acknowledge them, he knows he would have to rule against me. And I have been trying to settle with my opponents since May.
Settle for what?
Just to sit down and settle and talk with them in a room, just to negotiate.
You have offered to settle, and we'll just call it arbitration, even though it's not, and abandon the court and settle out of court.
Yes.
And they won't do it.
The attorneys, well, what wound up happening was that the attorneys for Carmel would not communicate to them that I wanted to start talking. They said, we're going to wait until you file your next complaint, and then we're going to wait until we respond. And we're going to wait until we keep ringing up our fees and our bills so that we don't have to tell these guys. So they personally wouldn't communicate to their clients that I wanted to start talking.
Why didn't you? Why don't you just send an email to the city?
Because I do not believe I am permitted to speak with them directly if they have counsel. So they were stonewalling me. And then actually, this is really interesting what wound up happening, because we had a conference. And he kept saying, well, we have to schedule a date now for Daubert motions and we're going to have a summary judgment. And I said, no, we're not scheduling anything but a settlement conference. This case is over. We all know it's over. I've already gotten a default. You should have awarded me a default. All we can do is schedule a settlement conference. So he scheduled one. He ordered us the following day to schedule one.
But wait a minute. What does that mean? When you schedule a settlement conference, does that mean they're admitting that you deserve a settlement?
No.
What does it mean?
It's an alternative dispute resolution, ADR.
Okay.
So it just means that one judge in that courthouse gets together with a bunch of people and they start talking. It's just a way to initiate discussion. Okay.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get it.
So for 3 weeks, we're talking about how this is in person because I don't want it to be over Zoom. And then the three references that we do by email, where we all agree that it's going to be in person. And then it gets uploaded into the docket in Pacer as in person. And then the one attorney goes, oh, it's in person? Oh, no, we can't do in person. It has to be remote. Okay, so The one judge, the one who's going to conduct ADR, she schedules this emergency conference call for us to try to hash this out. So the one is still insisting that it has to be remote appearance.
Are you going to allow them to remote this?
No. Okay.
I sure as hell wouldn't. Yeah, right.
No. I said, no, listen, it's okay if you want to have the city manager and the insurance agent appear by Zoom, but I want two of the defendant officers there in their place. So we'll make an even exchange because we've already been talking about this, but it has to be in person.
Which you have the right to demand, right?
Yes, because, okay, well, I'll tell you one of the reasons that actually happens during this conference call. So the Monterey County, they say that they're only going to have the attorney and the insurance agent present. And I said, Your Honor, can you kind of clarify who are their required attendees? Because I'm looking at local ADR rule 7-3, which dovetails with her standing orders, her own standing orders, okay? That you have to have one person from the public entity, one person who is the attorney of record and the insurance agent. And then I read out that local rule to her. So I said, can you explain under what authority? Because she said, no, it's okay if those two are there. They're the only ones there because aren't you self-insured? And I said, Your Honor, can you explain under what authority you're violating this local rule? And she said, you know, you are not talking about anything that's particularly important. And if you keep disrupting the process, then I'm just going to tell the judge that you're not willing to cooperate and you can go on your merry way and continue to litigate. Like real snotty like that. I said, no, Your Honor, I do want the settlement conference to go ahead. I just wanted to click.
Wow.
She hangs up on me because I was holding her to her own standing orders.
What just happened there is why you never accept a remote anything from the court.
Right. And it taught me. And after that, I filed a standing objection to any further remote appearances.
So we've gone about an hour. I want to wrap up. I wanted to get this out again so people are aware, particularly since it's gotten national coverage now. And hopefully you're going to get on more podcasts. The big deal here is that every time I see cities and counties doing things, they're making up their own rules. They're doing whatever they feel like doing. And when someone does come along like you, who holds their feet to the fire, it takes guts and it takes know-how. And again, you're in this 4 years, but as we begin to wrap up here, do you think that you're going to get satisfaction when all is said and done here?
No doubt, because I'm not stopping until I do, and that's it.
Will you seek damages on top of whatever else comes?
Well, we are going to be getting the press release out, which is going to be egg on the face of the Northern District Court. And they're either the insurance companies are going to contact me and we're going to settle, or I'm going to have to appeal, and it's going to cost them even more money to appeal. And you know, the public tide is turning, or I'm going to get a default judgment, or I'm going to turn around and continue to sue until I get satisfaction. And that's the tea on that.
So all those little suits on the other side of the table are billing whatever they're billing, $300-$500 an hour. Have you figured out your worth and the amount of hours you've put in? And are you going to press that as one of the costs that needs to be settled? I'm guessing you've got maybe thousands of hours into this?
I have probably spent, it's been 2.5 years full time.
Are you going to press as those people would for their time?
Yes, I am. Like I said, that default judgment is already entered into the case. And either the insurance companies are going to settle with me for a little bit less, or I'll get the full amount in the appeals. And if not, then I'll go to the Supreme Court, or I'll figure something else out. So yeah, someone is going to compensate me for, you know, if you were telling me at the end of my life, 100 years, would you want 4.5 years of your life back? I would say, yes. I mean, it takes an incredible, I mean, at this point, it's kind of like a runaway train. I can't stop the track that I'm on, because as soon as he dismissed the case, I found another avenue to continue to exploit, which is the scripts and the press release and the city council meetings. So somehow or another, they're going to fold. And that's it.
This is exactly what has become of our country. What I noticed at my town hall, get this, not to go too far off, but one of the most historic buildings in this country, in the state of Rhode Island, in an adjacent, I don't know what it's called, it's not a parish, in an adjacent little town, someone allowed a building to be leveled that was associated with George Washington and General Lafayette. The town council did this, and they're all up in arms. And what's been happening across our country is the new blood comes in to these places that run our cities and counties. They get trained in an improper way. They don't know that they've been trained improperly, and then they proceed. And it's like playing telephone. It's almost like it gets a little worse every time the next new blood comes in. And when someone like you stands up and forces recognition, it's a hell of a thing. But like you said, how many people are going to have the guts to deal with the heart rate and the threat of it, then deal with educating themselves to know how to conduct themselves, and then have the amount of time it takes to beat these people when they are clearly dicking you around and just trying to wear you out so you walk away? It's unbelievable. But Jason, do you want to get anything in here?
Well, I don't have any other questions about the cases, but Teresa, why don't you tell folks about how you want to teach people how to go to the city council meetings and deal with some of these not very cool people?
Oh, yes. That would be great. Yeah. So people could either go to Harvey Freebird's channel. And what is the name of the video? It is Citizens Destroy City Council Before They Leave Office Epic. That, I think, it's got like 67,000 views. Or if they want to go subscribe to my channel, the title of the videos, I did a series of three, and that's called The Tainted Legacy of Carmel by the Sea.
What is the channel name?
It's my name. So it's Teresa Bacola.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've been posting videos frequently lately, and I'm going to be able to get the court hearings up there. So Harvey really, and Harvey actually, and John Felix also covered it, that we overrode the 3-minute probation timeline that they give us. And we also, like I said before, we bought posters, and then we gave it to them at the end, and then the city clerk has to enter it permanently into their agendas.
Suppose, you know, in a few more months, you get your settlement, whatever it is. Do you think anything will have been levied against the judge? And by the way, who is the attorney now that these people have been sanctioned? Is still an attorney from the same law firm?
Well, it was the guy that replaced him. And then he was the one, because he started filing motions to dismiss. He is the one who had his motion to dismiss granted by the judge.
Hearing everything I've heard, I would almost walk into one of these like arbitration meetings, the sit down you have, and say, you people better treat me right and get on with the settlement here, or I'm going to go make a legal nightmare in every case. Those attorneys broke the rules and got judgments, settlements, or documents admitted into the court. I think I would literally do that.
That's why didn't I think that? Why didn't?
And furthermore, if I'm not mistaken, we've covered, Jason, a number of times what it means when you put a complaint against an attorney. It's a big deal, because if it happens more than once, it can really start to affect their career.
A bar grievance.
Yeah, a bar grievance. But I think there's something similar for judges, isn't there, Jason?
Yep, there sure is.
It's the Commission on Judicial Performance.
Yeah, I think I would walk in and I would literally say, I've been dicked around by you people. I've been treated terribly, I assume because I'm pro se. And unless you guys settle very quickly here to my satisfaction, I'm going to put a grievance against everyone associated with this case in your firm. I'm going to do the same to the judge. And then I'm going to go back through the records and I'm going to pull every single case that got a judgment or a document admitted where you guys broke the rules. What do you want to do now?
Interesting. Okay. Well, I just filed, like I said, 4 complaints on the judges. I mailed them, I think, Thursday or Friday of last week. And apparently that's a big deal because I started saying, okay, this guy needs to get off my case. I don't want him on my case anymore. He needs to recuse himself. And then another judge within that court entered an order denying recusal because he said something like, I have thoroughly investigated this. Okay, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, them not filing notices of appearance and forgetting to become admitted to practice is really, it's like a tiny little window in everything else that I've uncovered. And it was in August of this year that this other judge said, I have thoroughly investigated this case and found no sign of bias of this other judge, and he is therefore going to remain. And inside, I was like, what the hell is going on in the Northern District Court? They're all mad.
I noticed you have this press release too, and I think that's the other thing I would do. I would start putting out press releases because this is beyond the pale. What has happened here, and all of it began because they illegally shut the beach because they wanted to be pawns in the Covidius Minimus game. And to look at this press release and see this man invited by the city walking his dog to be literally tackled in the surf and then basically abused, it's unbelievable. And I don't think I would play nice. I think I would put up front, you know, we can settle. We can bring this to a close if I'm satisfied. Otherwise, you're going to regret the day you met me, because this is beyond the pale. All of this is based on trying to cover an illegal action because of COVID.
Yes, and it was really because they violated the laws of nature and they violated the laws of God. And that's why this whole thing has really blown up in their face, because there was nobody else that was suited for the job. I was called to service, and I've been on duty for, I've basically been on duty for 4.5 years. And I, you know, I fantasize about this and I have no idea, but I like to think that they talk about me a little bit in the Northern District because of a couple of times that I've gone and gone toe to toe with the judge, and I've really just wound up talking circles around him, and I'm illuminating, you know, I'm bringing order back to that courthouse, because they're like, wow, we haven't been disciplined like this in many years.
I think it's pretty clear, because they're clearly doing whatever they feel like doing. It's almost like a little club, and it seems to me like the judge is trying to defend what they do every day in there, like it's none of your business, you're not part of our club. But it's time for us to wrap up. I think I'm going to take this episode and release it free to everybody. Jason, do you feel like there's anything else we need to get out?
Is there a next step here that you want to talk about, Teresa?
I usually, like I think I said in the last podcast, I am always willing to talk about what I've done, but I don't like to talk about what I'm going to do, because I think it's the fourth law of power, conceal your intentions.
Yep. So, no, don't give away your strategy.
Yeah, but I have plans. I have plans.
All right. Well, one last time, if anyone wants to support Teresa's effort, walking into a court without a shield and a sword, basically, you can go to Give, Send, Go, and the code there is Golf 3 Foxtrot Delta Tango, G3FDT, or you can use the Cash App, which is the money sign with her name, Teresa Bucola. People stand up like this, it's a big deal, because it doesn't happen very often. And sometimes the people who do don't succeed. But when someone does and they succeed, change follows. I would be willing to bet that that city council is not going to be trying to close beaches anytime soon. We're going to be here to cover what comes out of this. And I'm glad to know you're going to make it on some other podcasts, but keep us up to date. And if you like, you can give out your contact information.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you very much again for inviting me on. I really love you guys. And by the way, I heard your, what was it, the cathedrals, the recent one that you did?
Yeah.
And I was listening to it while I was driving about how they continue to erase our history, and now they're even doing it in the cathedrals. Yeah, it was great. So my contact info is my channel. So that's Teresa Bucola, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, and then B-U-C-C-O-L-A. And I've been working on a video where I'm going to show all the shenanigans, a bunch of stuff that I haven't covered today in the podcast. And there will be screenshots. So keep an eye out for that. Then people can send me an email to Lioness of the Coast, L-I-O-N-E-S-S, of the Coast at yahoo.com. And then we already gave away the Cash App. And let me see. Oh, and my Facebook page, which is Teresa McCullough. I do live streams occasionally. And if you want speaking engagements or selling art, you can contact my sister. And that is admin, C-A-R-O-L-E, at protonmail.com. Oh, right. And my website. So I have some new work up there, and that is teresabacola.com, and you can see my stained glass work and restoration and leaded glass work.
It's beautiful work, and with that, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to give it out free to everybody in conjunction with the episode we released that week, and thank you so much, Teresa. It's unbelievable what you've stood up against, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about a settlement, but I think if I was you, I wouldn't mess around with them anymore. They've violated so many rules that it almost boggles the mind. There it is. It's a little over an hour for episode 610, and I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.